just keen to. This kina was composed by Rabbeinu Menachem ben Machia, who was one of the Gedolei Hador, lived at the time of the Crusades. He lived in Regensburg. He's the mechaber of many great piyutim and yoitzes and slichas that we have. And this was a kina that he was mechaber on the Crusades. Tough, and involved. And as you all know, that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians shluchim from the church in Rome who went to the Tachlis to conquer Yerushalayim from the pagans who were occupying it at the time. And along the way, the Crusades slaughtered tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Jews who would not agree to convert. And this kina is composed of 17 miserable stanzas that are filled with the pain of Am Yisrael and the description of what took place during the Crusades. But what I want to focus on is the end. Because the end nowadays would be something which is very, very controversial. As the kinas, you know, we try to go through them, we find a few words that we can connect to and some concepts, memories that are familiar. It's very easy to lose sight of a very, very big, important yisod of what this day of Tisha B'Av is all about and what the kinas are all about. And this is a subject that is not popular these days. And if one were to not discuss any particular part of the kina, this would be the one not to discuss. But it's important. So we need to understand we live in the world of Kedusha. We live in a world of Tyra. Not in the world of political correctness. What the world thinks is appropriate or right. So this more recent kina over the Crusades ends with the words Loivesh Nakam Ura Vekum. The English, I suppose, Loivesh Nekama, the one who is enclosed in vengeance, in revenge. Hashem is enclosed. He has a garment. We'll talk about that at the very end. So Hashem is Baruch has a lavush that's called Nekama. That's called revenge. And we're asking Hashem, who is enclosed in revenge, Ura Vekuma. Ura Vekuma. Awaken. The Kuma, and arise, stand up. Hareim Shifle Kaima. And you, Hashem, who are enclosed in revenge, if you will awaken and stand up, you will lift up with you Shifle Kaima. Those whose stature has been so diminished, the Jewish people. Shifle Kaima. Our stature has been so crushed and diminished in Golos. And then very, very mysterious words. You'll remember them from davening. We said these words yesterday by Avarachamim. Yodin Gevi'ois Rikma. Yodin Gevi'ois Rikma. On the place, in the spot there, Yodin Gevi'ois Rikma. The Lashon of Tehillim that we're familiar with is Yodin Bagoyim Mole Gevi'os. Now, Yodin, of course, is the judge. Gevi'os means corpses, cadavers. The Radak says that the Pshat here is Yaseh Dinu Mishpat Bagoyim. that we're asking Hashem, who's enclosed, to enclose himself in revenge and to arise and to lift up those who have been lowered and diminished in our suffering. And Yodin Gviyois Rikma, so the Radak says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yodin Magoyim Ole Gviyois, Yaseh Din Umishpat Magoyim, that Hashem should make a din to judge the Goyim. Ad Shemokim HaMilchom HaMolei Gviyois, that there should be a judgment in such a way that the battlefield will be molei gevi'ais, will be filled with the corpses of our enemies. Horeim shiflei kaima yodin gevi'ais rikma, yodin gevi'ais rikma. Rikma is a lashon of something that's woven. Any of you have the English? What is it? How does the English read over there? The last stanza, the last words. Yodin gviyois rikma. What does it say?
Knit together.
That are knitted together. Yodin gviyois rikma. Woven, knitted together. Yodin gviyois rikma. What does this mean exactly? The mefarshim are tumbling over this. And when that happens, when the battlefield of this great final judgment will be filled with the corpses of our enemies that are woven together, then at that time, then the Shechina will arise and she will sit in her place. Now, the uncomfortable subject of this kina, and really it's a theme that runs throughout all of kinas, just here, it's so strong at the end. It's all of kinas. And Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, is nekama, revenge. And if you look at the Lashon in that last stanza that we're learning, if you look at the Lashon, the word nekama, revenge, then you see ura vikuma, nekama, kuma, hare shiflei, kaima, shchina kama, alma kaima. In other words, the shirish here, the shirish here of all of the words is kuf vav mem. Kum. Stand up. That's the shirish. Nekama, kuma, mokum, kaima. It's all kuf vav mem. Standing up. Now, what is the mentality of the Noike? In Torah, we have a parasha of Goel Adam. What is the mentality of the one who is seeking revenge? So we need to understand what happened to this person, to Am Yisrael. What happened to the person, what happened to our nation over the years of being beaten, and tormented, killed, disgraced, degraded, humiliated? What happened was that the enemy, aside from the physical devastation, the oyev, the enemy, has crushed the kavod, that sense of self, that feeling of a person of who he is. Everybody here knows that the Germans, Yimach Shemam, in the most recent calamity that came upon all of Am Yisrael in such a brutal way, that the tachlis of the Germans was not just to kill, was just not the final solution, but was to degrade and to humiliate and to completely uproot. Because a person who's degraded and humiliated, who's crushed, who's embarrassed, doesn't feel that he has a mokum, doesn't have a place. He loses his standing. He loses his place. The need for nekama, which is a very natural human need, the need for nekama is that need that a person has and that a people have. For what's called in modern day Hebrew, kimum atzmi means to restore, to revive, to reestablish oneself, to re-erect. Lakum. Because the entire person was diminished and crushed by the suffering at the hands of the enemy. And therefore, we're not talking here about taking revenge, about Jews taking revenge, but we're talking about the need for nekama. Is that need that the person has to restore, to revive his own ego, himself, his own covet, his own self-confidence, and his mokim and mitzvahs. Therefore, I once spoke to you about this years ago. This is rooted in the Maral and the other said he can talk about this. How the word nekama itself is divided into nun, the letter nun, kama, to lift up the letter nun. Now you know the Gemara in Brachos, the nun that's missing from Ashrei, and Soimach Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. Soimach Hashem l'chol hanoiflim, the side of Rabbi Nachman says with kinos, that in kinos the nun is bent over, the nun is the bent over nun, the nun kfufa, that's crushed and that's bent. And the tachlis is that we should come to that time of the nun being straightened out to be a nun zakufa. So the bent nun is the nun of kinos. Ultimately, the tikkun will be when the nun, there it's the same letters of kinos. The word tikkun, Rabbi Nachman says, is the same oisius as kinos. And the tikkun is when the bent over nun, the broken nun, will be straightened out, and then there will be the tikkun. Rabbi Nachman said the world that we're living in until that time is a world of teiku, of unresolved questions, not just questions and learning, but great dilemmas in our lives that we have, not understanding, not feeling Hashem's love for us. So the nun is bent over. That goes back also to the first Torah, look at the Maran. Those who learn, look at the Maran, know what I'm talking about, the chain, and the nun. L'fnei Shemesh Yinoin Shema, the nun Mashiach, Yinoin, which is the name of Mashiach, the bent over nun, and then the final nun, the name Yinun, is a tikkun of the teiku that we're in. And Eliyahu Novi is Tishbi Yataris. So when Eliyahu Novi comes, Mashiach will come, then the broken, bent over nun of kinos will have a tikkun, and the tikkun will then be, the nun will be straightened out. Yinoin is Mashiach. Rabbi Nachman talks about that in the first Torah. When Golos, all of the chayin, all of the yaifi of the Jewish people, And all of our feeling of beauty and confidence has been lost. That Rabbi Nachman talks about. So the word nekama is nun, the letter nun that is bent. Kama. It means the need for nekama is that belief that soymach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, that ultimately Hashem will straighten my life out and He'll lift me back up. Soymach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. V'zoykev l'chol ha'kfufim. The noifel is the nun. That's what the Gemara says. The noifel is the nun. The nun is kofuf. The bent nun is called the nun kufa. Soymach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. V'zoykev l'chol ha'kfufim. That Hashem will straighten out the nun kfuf, meaning all Jews who, as a result of our suffering, have been embarrassed, ashamed, and humiliated. The Germans had to make Jews undress before they killed them, which, of course, was for the interest that they had in our shmatas. They needed our shmatas. The ikka there was not that the Germans were going to make use of our shmatas. They were already lice infested and destroyed. But that last moment of life, that last breath that we had, there was that need that the Amalekim had to lower the nun to such a place where Jews, who are people who are be'etzem so tzanua, who are so modest, parents in front of children and grandparents and tzaddikim and rosh yeshivas and rabbis, to strip them of their clothing, to shoot them when they were naked, to force them to be in a gas chamber without their clothing. That little bit of covet that the Gemara says in Shabbos, that a person's clothing is his covet. So the word in the Kama is that the Nun Kfufa is begging Hashem, Kama, that through revenge, Rabbi Shalom, you can lift me up. I'm so bent over. I'm so humiliated. I've lost my pride. I've lost myself. My father's Zal Gazon signed the way he described what was taking place in the concentration camp, how he saw with his own eyes a father and a son killing each other over a piece of disgusting bread with mold, and a father and a son who are fighting over it. We read descriptions, we're reading descriptions of this in the Kinnis. These are things that there are Jews who saw with their own eyes. So nekama is nun kama. That the fallen and broken nun should stand up. That's the need for nekama. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, again, this pasuk is so politically incorrect. David HaMelech is describing what would be the unbelievable loneliness of the Jewish people and the Tzibrochen Kait of Am Yisrael going out for the first time after the Churban into Golus, Al Nahar Hazbal. And everybody here knows the way that capital ends. And these are things we don't talk about in public. I don't know what Goyim think when they read the psalm. They probably think it's talking about us. But the capital ends with the words, Bas Bovel Ashaduda. Daughter of Bovel. Bas Bovel Ashaduda. Shaduda means, in the end, you're going to be looted. You're going to be destroyed. We're going to take everything back from you. Bas Bovel, you stole everything from us. You stole everything we had. And especially you stole our own feeling of self-respect and dignity. You're destined yourselves. You're going to get it. And you're going to, in the end, you're going to be looted. You're going to get everything back that you took from us. Not just a couple of paintings and bank accounts. Everything you took from us, we're going to get back. Fortunate is the person who will step forward to pay you back for what you did to us. The first one talked about what this means. It's a remez to Mashiach, who's the person, but it means each person. Ashrei sheyoyches v'nipes esor lalayich el asolam. So the fortunate is the person who will step forward to pay you back for what you did to us. He will step forward to seize, to take, to grab, and smash your little ones against the rocks. To take your babies and to smash their heads against the rocks. Now imagine a Yom Iyun in UCLA or something. You don't have to go that far. You can go any local university. Those are the words of David Malkin Mashiach. Ashrei sheyorches v'nipes esor lalayach el asor. Fortunate is the one who will be able to have the schus to take your babies from Babel and crush their heads against the rock. Tehillim, there are many places David Melech speaks this way. That's the most violent. Kel nukomis Hashem. Kel nukomis Seifia. Hashem here is called Kel nukomis. So one of the midas of Hashem is that he's a Kel nukomis. And David Melech asks twice, Chazal, Mepharshim talk about why twice, Kel nukomis Hashem, Kel nukomis Seifia. Yevoda bagoyim leinenu nikmas dam avodecha Hashem. Yevoda b'goyim le'ineinu. I'm telling you that whenever I say those words in davening, b'varachmim yevoda b'goyim le'ineinu, ever since I'm a child, I'm always davening, that my parents should live and be zoyche to see this happen. Yevoda b'goyim le'ineinu nikmas dam avodecha shavu, my parents should be zoyche to see the revenge taken for the blood of their families that were killed. I've always had that thought when I say those words. I'm sure I'm not the only one. It's the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for. It's what David HaMelech asked for. It's a natural, normal, and healthy instinct of a person who still has something left of himself and of a people who still has something left of itself to be able to come back. That the shiflei koima should have nekum, that the broken nun should have a tikkun, that the kinas should become tikkun, and that the teiku of how could we have gone through all of this should somehow, in some way, there should be some sort of an answer through that revenge. Now keep in mind, Chevra, before we go any further, that the difference between Am Yisrael and the rest of the world is that we don't actually do this stuff. We just talk a lot about it. And at the end of the day, the Pasuk does say, Kel Nekomis Hashem, Kel Nekomis Seifia. In other words, that we as human beings, as much as we want revenge, and we're longing for that, and without that we feel still humiliated and broken, but we know that it's not for a human being to decide, and we don't know how to do this, and revenge is a very dangerous instinct. Because very, very often throughout time, when those people who take revenge, and nations who are filled with a need for vengeance, they go way, way over to satisfy that need. And therefore we believe as Jews that our mishpat Elokim hu. And we're asking Hashem at the end of the year, Loivish Nakama, Ura Vakuma. Rabbi Shalom, you're clothed in Nakama, Ura Vakuma. We're afraid, we don't know how to do this. I shared with the Olam here a few months ago by Shabbos morning drosha that how at the after the Milchama, my father was with a few Jews, and there were American soldiers there, and they found a couple of Germans hiding in the forest, and they were coming out there. My father was walking with two or three of his friends, and there was no in those years there were no cameras, there was no tzelem, whatever. Nobody's watching, nobody's taking pictures. And the American soldiers saw there were a couple of Jews walking. They went over to these Jews, and the soldier put the gun in my father's hand. And he was mechabed him. He was mechabed my father. I mean, officially, according to the rules of the Geneva Convention, the Germans had to be taken as prisoners of war. But there was nobody watching, and the American was the American was somebody who wanted to do a target for a Jew. And he gave my father the gun, and he said, my father said this to us. I wasn't happy like with this story. I wasn't happy with the ending. But my father said all he was dreaming about the whole time of the Muhammad is that taste of revenge. All he was dreaming about was like to have that opportunity. But at the end of the day, he said he couldn't do it. So my father gave the gun to the guy next to him. One of his chaver. And the American mamish couldn't understand this. Understand in the blood of Esav, it's a kleinikai. To pull the trigger, it's a kleinikai. Not every that Esav, but substantial percentage. And the American couldn't understand. They did. They just gave him back the gun, and he shook his head. He didn't kill the Germans. He just dragged them off somewhere. So we ask Hashem, Loivesh Nakama Ura Vakum. Because at the end, Mishpil Elokim. But that need that we have, that's what we're talking about. The need that a healthy person has for Nakama is a Mida Elokis. The Maral talks about this in a number of places. Because it's a Mida of Hashem. Kel Nakamas. And Ma Hashem is Noikim Benaita. The Gemara says about a Talmud Chacham, to be noikim and noite kenachas, what it means is shmidish and shmidish. It's not going into right now. But Ma Hashem is noikim and noite at the right time and the right way. There's a midah lukis that a healthy person who has lost himself at the hand of those who hate him and try to destroy him and take away from him his home at sea, his mokum, his koima. But there's a need for nakam. So I want to share with you something that I saw. Because I always try to do that, but I believe it's the strongest way to make this point clear. And that this shouldn't be chalila misunderstood. Ma beineinu lebeineihem. What's the difference between a Jew and our enemies when it comes to this inyan of nakam? The beginning of 1953, Tavshin Yud Gimel. One of the Gedolei Yisrael here in America, an Ish Gadol Ma'ay, a very, very great Jew, a great Paisa, who was not a survivor, who came to America before the Milchama, was already known as a Posek in Europe, wrote a maimer, he wrote an essay, an article, in their Yid, in the newspaper their Yid, in the Yiddish newspaper. And I'm not, there's no reason not to say his name, since it's something which is Avida Dlegluye, and there's nothing to be ashamed of, Khalil. I'm sure almost all of you have heard of him, if not all of you. His name is Rav Hankins, Echazad of Josh Levon. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. Rav Henkin lived on the Lower East Side. He was the posek here in America him and Rav Moshe Zecharo Levracha were the dearest and closest friends. And Rav Henkin was a person who was admired and was loved by all kehilas of Jews, by Hasidim and by the Litvish and by the Hungarians. Everybody loved Rav Henkin. He was an ish shalom, tzaddik, and onuf kehila. And he wrote a maimer in their yid in 1953 that caused an unbelievable tumult. And I'm sure he'd never ever intended that it should be controversial. And what was the subject of the article? He wrote that the time had come that the attitude that the Jewish people have towards Germans and the German nation, and particularly the new government of Germany, that our attitude should be softened and normalized. And I'm sure that you can get that article. I don't know if their yid is online. From 1953, Tavshin Yud Gimel. But I read the Maimer. Remember that there was a huge controversy going on in those years after the Muhammad regarding whether we should take money, the restitution, whatever. We should take money from the Germans or not to take from the Germans. It's a huge machlokes among the, not only among the Gedolei Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure all of you know that Menachem Begin, Zecharo Levracha, Menachem Begin was Eish Lahava, that they should choke on this money. Eish Lahava. His Bar Plukta was Ben Gurion Kiyadua. And Ben Gurion believed that we needed the money, we should take the money, and he, in Fakirti, he felt that was something, epic something. And this was a machlokes at the time, and Rav Henkin came out at that time of this Maimer. And it unleashed a fury among survivors that Rav Henkin never expected. And there were things that were written that were very, very strong. Some of them were inappropriate. They're writing about an Ish Kadosh, an Adam God. There were things that were written that shouldn't have been written. But there was something that I read by a huge Talmud Chacham who was a survivor who lost his wife and children. Not all of them. But I know he lost a wife and a daughter, what I read in the Milchama. He's the grandfather of a friend of mine. He's a person who was Bucky and Shas, Poskim, Medrash, Zaya, everything. His name is Rav Meir Amzel. Rav Meir Amzel was, some of you might be familiar, there was a very, very popular Torah journal called HaMa'or. That was coming out until the 70s. From the time after the Muhammad until the 70s. Now, the reason I saw this is because this friend of mine, Baruch, we're together in the mountains, and last year Baruch told me that I didn't realize that he's an Einikel from Rav Meir Amzel. He lived in Baruch Park at the end of his life, I believe. The Shtiebel, he had a little shul there in Baruch Park. And he was, this Rav Amzel was close with the Satan Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was close to the Rabbi Yashaber, the Soloveitchik. He was an ish mu'urav, but a big kanoi. So Baruch and his father, I said to him, Baruch, I like that journal very much. And the next thing I knew, they came like with a truckload of all of the journals. They're very good people. And I have, they're in the mountains, I have stacks of old hamo'ors. And they're fascinating. It's tremendous. My mom there in Halacha, from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and from the Satan Rebbe, and from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and also very interesting historical things from that time. So, a week or so ago, a little bit more, it was very late at night, and I was going through some of this stuff. So let me share with you something that I read from him. Rav Meir Amzel wrote a response to Rav Henkin's article. But of course, his response was filled with respect. But it was strong. Now, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but there was some points that he made that I think that it's very important that we understand. The Sankin is Tisha B'Av, and we need to understand because we have this need as well. In a different way. But I decided that I would share this with you, so listen carefully. I know it's hard, you don't have it in front of you. Just a few sentences. So his response is to the article in Da'id. He says, from Ches Kislev, Fermav HaMofursim, the Gaon, the Tzaddik of Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. We're in that article, Rav Amzel says, Rav Henkin wrote how our way, the way of the Jewish people, is always Darchei Hanoam and Sholom, Me'ozim, Me'olam, Me'olam Laholach Achrei Nekomis, Netiris Ayim. That our way, the way of the Jewish people, is not to seek revenge, to bear a grudge, and so on. And after some words of respect, he lets Rav Henkin have it. He begins with the following. Let's learn a little bit. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, don't try to appease your friend when he's on fire with anger. When he's very angry, when he's very hurt, don't try to appease him at that moment. And don't make an attempt to console him when the mace is mutalofonov, when his mace, meaning the one that he loves, is dead, lying in front of him. And the Rav Bartanur says over there, Shabishas al Churban Kivyoch Lahaya Kadosh Baruch Misavel. We've been reading the Kinnis, we see that at the time of the Churban, Kadosh Baruch himself is Misavel, he's in the place of Avelus, he's Misavel, he's mourning. Big Shumalacha Asharis Lanachama. And we know, Chazal tell us, and we read it just a few minutes ago in the Kinnis, that the Malachim came to be Menachem Ovel, to give Nechama, to try to console Hashem. The Ruach HaKadosh Meshiv and Al Ta'id Sul Nachamein. As the Gemara brings down, that Hashem has brought, the Shechina answered, it's not the time to give me Nechama. Don't try to give me Nechama now. When the mace is Mutal Lufana, Hashem says, when the Beis HaMikdash is lying in ruins in front of me, and there are many, many, many Jews who are lying dead in front of me, Al Ta'itzil Nachamayim. The Rav Batanur brings that on the Mishnah. And then Rav Amzel brings from the Abab and the Elam Pirkei Avos, in his Perish Nachas Avos. With the Abab and Elam says, Tama Dover. What's the reason for this? What Rabbi Shimon Elazar says. The Rabbanan says, Sha'oz ein roi lanachem. Because at that time, it's not appropriate to give nechama. Ba'menachem, and a person who tries to do that, moira sheinu margish b'tza'ora. You know that by the time of Aniel, this is not a time of nechama. You're not allowed to say to the oinein, Hamoki menachem. He's not yet ready for hearing Tanchum. The mace is mutal lefanav. The mace hasn't been buried. You don't say Hamaki Menachem. There's no nechama. Not only that, but the Abba Benel says Hamenachem Moirish and Amarish Bitzara. That if you try to do that when the mace is sitting there, it's an insensitivity. Hamenachem Moirish and Amarish Bitzara. Then the one who's trying to, he means well, but when he's trying to give nechama to the Einain, it looks like what he's. He doesn't feel the pain of the einain, of the one who's standing there with the mace mutlavon. Lachen chavrei of Yoshvi toy shiva yomim v'shiva leilos v'ein doyer v'lov dover. Therefore, we see in Iyov that his chaverim came and they sat 7 days and seven nights, shiva, silent. And we know that al-pi aloch is the gemara in Moed Katan, that we don't begin to speak until the oval can say something by shiva. And that oftentimes can make the people or the person who's visiting very uncomfortable. The Rabbeinu says, "Ki ro, ki god la ke'ev ma'ay," because the friends of Eve saw that the ke'ev, the pain was so great. So Rabbeinu ends and says, "Ki im heyois midarche Hashem l'nachem aveilum," even though one of the midas of Hashem is mahu menachem aveil, Hashem is menachem aveil, and therefore it's we're supposed to be menachem aveil. Ein kol ha'shoos ru'uyos l'zeh. Our Babinel says, Ein kol ha'shoos ru'uyos l'zeh. Not all times are appropriate. Fenichim aveil. So it's not just that people say all kinds of strange things by Shiva to try to be Menachem Oval because they don't know what to say and they're uncomfortable. But there are times it's not a time for Fenichim aveil. So here, Amzal, after bringing this Mishnah, the Rav, and the Abarbanel, stops and he says the following. Ikvois achur ben anatsi anayra terem nimcha. The footprints of the churban of the Germans or the Nazis haven't yet been erased. Remember, this is 1953. Sometimes I think about, I was born in 1957. And I was just talking to my wife about this a few weeks ago. It never occurred to me that I was only born like a few years after what my parents went through. It wasn't so long, 1957. They came out in 1945 until they got out. It was later than that. It was after that, but it wasn't such a long time. So this, we're talking about 1953. So if Amzal says, Ikvos achur ben anatsi anayra terem nimcha. The footprints of the Nazis haven't yet been erased. There are volvering around, draying around wherever Jews live, la'alofim. Unfortunately, it's not so many anymore. Yisoyimim, orphans, mibalei mumim nugoyim rachmor letzlan, and Jews who are injured and crippled. Balimumim menugoyim rachmon litzlan. Mistoivim adayim b'serchin lalofim. Noim v'nodim shadayim lo yibor lo amenuchim lanachla. 1953. He said there are thousands upon thousands of Jews who are draining around the world who haven't yet found a menuchim lanachla. Ve'in lucha odim Yisrael b'deireinu. That is the generation that I grew up in. There are many of the younger chevri here, but there's some of us who are older, remember. Ein lecha adam Yisrael b'derein shali yisab la tishim achuz v'harbe al tishim v'tisha achuz mi'mishpachta. He says that we, everywhere we look, we see there are 90. He says not 90%. He said that Jews that we're looking at have lost 90%. Many of them, 99% of their families were killed. Harugi anasim yimach shema. It's not so many anymore. But there are thousands who are amongst us. What does that mean? The one who is writing these lines, me, Rabbi Amzal says, I'm one of them. Hamavalim adayin habe miloloiseyam, who spend many of their nights bibaholo bepachat in terror and fear, michaloimais, from the dreams that they have, the nightmares, mchozois nerom, and horrible visions and sights that they see. Machzois zeraklufnei eser shonim ein neimer rov loizar, things that we saw with our eyes just approximately 10 years ago. And what do we see in our dreams and our nightmares? As Achiyah Karmelham, those who are most dear to us, Nitzlovim crucified, Nitbochim butchered, Nisrofim burned, Vinigborim Chaimen buried alive. In Neim Rov Loizar, our eyes have seen this, not strangers, not other people, And he says, and we still see our children before our eyes. Yaldei Shashay means our precious children. Nitzborim v'nishlochim ka'avon, gathered up and thrown like stones. Aramos into piles. Nishpochim be'benzin, with benzene,
gasoline
poured over them. Nishpochim be'benzin v'nishrofim chayim, burned alive, b'karlis boikim shechokim, and their voices screaming out to the heavens. All kinds of horrible and disgusting ways that they were killed. That the gas chambers, Rav Amzal says, was like a luxury. To die in a gas chamber was a luxury compared to things that we saw. How Jews were killed, how they were tortured, how they were in the chvofim, how they were degraded and humiliated and murdered. Mises Meshunas, after they were tortured in strange, bizarre ways, cruel ways. She'ev shohoyuli yivolid rak v'mercheseyim hatmeyim shol tzetzei ha'am ha'germani ha'nazi ha'mach shema v'sirchem. Such bizarre and strange ways of degrading and murdering people that only the impure brains of Nazis could come up with. Then he goes into the whole, that's Aleph. So Kainim, he, based upon the Mishnah and others, and the Rav and the Barbanel and other Mepharshim, respectfully, Rav Amzal says, please, Rav Henkin, it's 1953. And you're asking us to normalize our feelings, not just our policies, but that Jews should be forgiving and soft. So first Rav Amzal says, in Schuldig and all due respect, it's not the right time to tell us such things. You can't say things like this to us now. Then he goes into discussion on halacha about, really from yesterday's parasha also, the Adayim and the Mitzvim, the Malaikim and so on, Am and Amoyav, and the Indian of their not being allowed to come into Kahal Yisrael, and the Tzul for Kahal Yisrael, at least for a few generations, Amalek is something else, right? So Rav Amzal says, a few generations, wait, you want to wait a couple of generations. You know, you want to talk about this Indian? Maybe wait a few generations. Dor Shlishi, Dor Revi, maybe then. Maybe then you could bring up this subject again by Dor Shlishi, Dor Revi. By third generation, all right, they're here, third generation. By third generation, by fourth generation, you could bring up the subject. And he has all discussion, the Rabbim, Shukhnar, Chnevez, and and Simon Dalad, all of this goes through the Rosh, the Rambam, Machlokes is the Rambam, the tour. And he brings the Indian of not marrying to the Mitzri, and the question of a ger from a Mitzri, accepting converts from these people. The Egyptians, they threw babies into the Nile. Mitzichach Zorizu, which was a forerunner of what the Germans were Isaac in. That there could be that third generation, there could be a geirus, is only hechatimsa for a geir. But as far as lotisayev, about hating, about despising, the Torah doesn't give a limit. Doesn't set a limit. It could be mekabel, a geirusness, that there can be such a thing as a geir mitzri. It's an amazing person. There could be such a thing to come out from that place. But as far as the tiyuv is concerned, as far as the hatred is concerned, where does it say? Where does it say that that's finished? V'sof-sof. You listening? You're with me. It's an important document from a great person. V'sof-sof. Ein pirshom shal ha-mitzvim gomel kol kach. So Rav Amzal says, sof-sof. The Egyptians are not so bad. I mean, we have a big yontiv and it's a lot of fun and everything. But sof-sof, and all of our mitzvahs, he says, sof-sof, ain't pishum shalom mitzvahm gol kakak k'may amon k'may shalom amon amor v'yichud shalom olay. Why? K'may oichah mitzvahm osam ha-shalom yudam shalahem. The Egyptians were upset with their Jews. They were worried about the Jews. We have a lot of Jews over here. Our Jews are going to make a rebellion. They're going to come up. They're going to make a war and so on. The Egyptians did what they did with the Mayudim Shalahem, with their Yidin. Hari Amalek, Holoch, Labnis, Vel, Beyesai, Ayefi, Ageya, Bedakim, Mitzrayim. The Amalekim went looking for Jews. There were no Jews by Amalek, living by Amalek. They went looking for Jews who were Ayefi, Ageya. Lo Yisrael Shum Shaychus Yimu. Jews didn't have a Shaychus to them. Val Rishis Kazu Omer Torah Mochetim. And on the Rishis of Amalek, who went looking for Jews, the Torah says a din of what? Mochetimcha. Olamas. Mochetimcha. Rashi says, Shlehei Shem Amalek Nizka Filo Ala Behema. That even their animals, there shouldn't be an Amaleki Behema. To say, yeah, Behema Zum Mishal Amalek Haisa. So he said, the Egyptians had an inyan with their Jews. Amalek went after Jews. V'achshav Shaham Ha'or Hazeh. But this German, this cursed Jewish, German nation. V'achshav Ha'am Ha'or Hazeh. Horshad B'chol Arotzes Europa V'Africa. They went everywhere in Europe looking for Jews. They didn't get all the way. They couldn't make as far as they could make it. They were stopped. But they, as far as they could go. But Rav Amzal goes on to say, and we know this, because now there's much more that's been documented than in 1953. Because Rav Amzal saw with his own eyes how Germans went looking for a Jew that lived, there was one Jewish family that lived in some Arois Gavaf in the Gestetel someplace. There was one Jewish family that was hiding 10 feet someplace under the ground, covered with trees and branches. They made themselves, and the German army would send a special unit to go look for some old Jews in a hole someplace. And the truth be told, my wife said this, we were talking a lot about what happened with what Rabbi Levin was just discussing, mentioning this unbelievable thing that happened in Thailand, and how in the aftermath of that, my wife read that they had to bring a whole team that they need. They brought a whole team of therapists and all kinds of mavinim and people to help these kids and to help the coach with what they went through. How long were they there? Huh? 3 weeks. Ben Azman, Ben Amitzaram, 3 weeks. So that's unbelievable. They were 3 weeks, and it's horrible. And we can't imagine. Exactly what it was described. It's terrible. And I don't know all the pratim of what they went through. I guess this is a little, I'm sure they're going to be now movies and books. But it was terrible. And there's no question they need help. These kids need help. Well, my wife couldn't help herself when she said, you know, there were Jewish families that were, there was a Jewish family, there was a whole documentary about a Jewish family. They spent 500 days. Now, you want to make chiluk in 500 days under five. Now, they were listening to the sounds of Nazis walking upstairs throughout that time. Walking and looking, and dogs barking. And everybody that they knew was killed. It's not nice, they're not making comparison. But nobody brought any therapists for these Jews, you understand? They never had any psychologist come talk to them. When they came to America, there were even Jews, it's a sad parish of there even Jews, who felt like, well, what's the matter with you? Like, why didn't you do something about this? They didn't have any therapy. And many of them, even after the Muhammad, made to feel like, what's the matter with you? Why did you let this happen to you? So the Germans went looking, not like the Mitzrayim, but the Mitzrayim had their Jews. The Amalekim, actually, he says, so the Germans, Sha'am Ha'oraz, Posha B'chol Arzais Europa of Africa, V'Hishmit Sham Yudim Shleigom Oilum Arazo. That the Germans didn't, they went after Jews, Poland, Hungary, Greece, Italy, Czechoslovakia, They've been looking for Jews wherever they could find a Jew. It
didn't have to be a whole big island.
Wherever they could find a Jew. What do they have with Jews in Holland? In Denmark? What do they have with that name of Jews?
So Ramsel says it's Bora that the Germans are much worse than Amalek. That the Germans are the embodiment of the Satan of Tumah. that we should forgive them, and that we should be mechaper.
That's all the begging was screaming about. They're going to give us money, and they're going to feel mochalach, mochalach, mochalach.
The Jews are going to take money. No, there's no time the Jews did that. But and there's still some checks that are coming in. My parents get the checks, but the Begin and the others that were against it said that the Roskim are going to feel some satisfaction. Kilu they have a kapara. At that time, he says there's a whole generation of these Nazis that they're still alive. These Nazis were chay kavod in many places in the world, especially in South America. Which, even though there's a lot that's been written, at the end there's going to be a big documentary that's produced by Hashem Yisbarach about how Nazis were treated with covered malachim. And even here in America, Rabbi said, and even games that the American government played, covering up Nazis that were here in America. Veins and Malu married Mashaman, he gave home as a machine from Aziz Schumaguchach, Mazelis Arabus Shechamzu. He says, not Malu married, but the German government, the leaders of the Germans, give some laughable amount of money from the Gzelis that they stole from us. Mashakosever Rav Henkin. The Rav Henkin wrote, Shalem Lisnaig Medarche Yaakov Avino Lasholom, Yavana Adoni Lifnei Avdoi. And Rav Henkin wrote in his Maimer that we should behave like Yaakov Avinu, who's treated Esav with respect. And he said, please, sir, you go first. And Vayishtachu Aritza Sheva Palmer. And that Yaakov bowed down 7 times. So Chazal were very critical of that.
So Rav Amzal says, look, in all honesty, there were 3 taksisim, you know, there was a dairon, but there was also what? Mulchama and Tvila. Mulchama or. And that's only what? He said that was only a way to preempt any trouble that we would have from Esau. I will as Dina Bitoi, but afterwards, when we see that in Shechem they were metame a Jewish girl. Kvashinu shifte Hashem is tachsisem legamre. We don't see that by Shimon and Levi. We don't see that Shimon and Levi were bowing down to anyone. The gam achrei she Esav hu Edom serve is based in Lokenu. And we, even when we look back in Chazal, after the Churban, especially where we have more that's written, and we have more in our hands, after they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, we see the surface based on Kedah Ve'echri V'Zatzenu, lo yis'yachasu Chazal aleim b'yachas shel kapara ne'imus. We don't find Chazal speaking about Rome in a positive way. We don't find a softening, a normalization of their attitude towards the Romans. Especially not by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he brings many, many Ma'amar Chazal where they speak about the Romans. And finally, at the end, I mean, there's a lot here, but I'll just say at the end.
Ma'achshav loy dai shein b'yadeinu l'snakim b'chol eilu sh'yadeinu l'chlochus v'dam rabbeseinu abeseinu yiladeinu achenu nesheinu. He said, Rav Amzal says, look, the truth is, ein b'yadeinu. We don't have the ability, and it's not for us, to take nekama, to actually carry out nekama against all those whose hands are bloody, with the blood of our teachers, of our parents, of our children, of our brothers and sisters. Bagam shalamayse. He says, even though the truth is, ein anachnu shayafim l'zeh, we don't have a sheifa to physically do this. Because he explains, aktoivim shekel nekomas Hashem, kel nekomas. Hashem yinkoim es nekmasayim. But, Rav Amzal says, the healthy and correct attitude should be that we long for, like David Melech and Moshe Beno and all the tzaddikim, for that day that Hashem will take nekom. Not to delete, not to erase. Shekel nekomas Hashem yinkoim es nekmasayim. But to reach out and to try to make peace with the Rotschim and their nation. Hasmilahaske, such a thing. Vatera Amra, Mochai Timcha. So the Torah says, Mochai Timcha, to completely erase. You know, on the subject of erasing, just give me another minute on this. One of the events of Tisha B'Av was Nechves Shahair, right? What does it mean, Nechves Shahair? Tonus Rabbis HaRosha, at unbelievable effort and expense, plowed down, had the Harabayas plowed. Now, there was no modern machinery to do this. It was a huge, huge expense. The Harabayas that we have now, B'yadeinu, the Harabayas is not the height of what it once was. Nechves Shahair. And that's one of the gzeiros of Tisha B'Av that we're mourning about today. Plowing, that it was plowed Nechves Shahair. So you could ask a kasha. Why did Tonus Rabbis, why did the Romans need to do such a thing? This is a big avoida, a big malacha. Why did they need to do this after they already destroyed the entire city and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? And not only Nechves Shahair, but Chazal tell us, you know what he did when he plowed down the city? He had a garden planted over there. He made a nice garden. He made a park by the Harabayas. He made a garden over there. He made it very pretty and nice. So why was this so important to Rome? But the answer is because all our enemies want to do is to erase our memory. Is to erase the memory of the world of what happened by the Harabayas. To erase, you see what's happening? That the Yishmaelim are saying, nah, there was never a Beis HaMikdash. The one who was the biggest promoter of this sheker is the one who is the head of the Palestinian Authority. You don't have to go back to Arafat, the one that's wearing a shmak on his head. Even the ones with the necktones. The whole lineage of Holocaust denial, which to us is so strange. And to build a park with flowers and nice things on the Harabayas, Nechves Shahair, because the Torah says Mochai Timcha, erase Amalek, and the time will come Mochai Emcha. We don't know how to do that. Hashem will do it. Kelna Kama Sofia. But in the meantime, the world's hands is covered with Jewish blood, and the world wants to erase the ruins of the Harabayas.
and even civilized nations take part in this effort to erase the memory of what's happened to Am Yisrael. And this is in so many ways, on so many levels. But Yerushalayim is not the capital. There never was a Beis HaMikdash. There's a law now in Poland. Yeah. This guy came up with an Einfall. This Polak came up with an Einfall. There was a new Einfall. It is against the law. What's the exact chok? It's against the law to say anything that would imply that there were Polish people who somehow participated in the Holocaust. They made a chok like that. It was passed, no?
Oh, yeah.
That's the law now in Poland.
Polish death camps.
There were no Polish death camps. There was nothing that happened after the Milchama, no. Not during the Milchama. No kind of shechitas were going on in Poland after the Milchama. Moche Timcha. It never happened. Lahadam. Lahoyu Dvar Ma'olam. So let's get back to the end of the Kina and the words of the end of the Kina. Loivesh Nakama Urubakum. What is this malbush? What is this garment that Hashem wears? The Yalkut says in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuf Yud, Remez Tov Tov Samech Tes. Here's where the Medrash Chazal say, the Pshat in Yodin, Bagoyim Mole Givyois. That in this Kina, that this Kina ends with. Yodin Bagoyim Mole Givyois. Kol Nefesh Shoharag Ace of Yisrael. Any Jew that was ever killed by any guy, Esav meaning Esav Yishmol, Yishmol is a part of Esav. Kol nefesh shaharag Esav mi Yisrael, noitel kadosh baruch mi dam kol nefesh v'nefesh. Hashem takes the blood of every Jew that was ever killed. V'toivel apurpur yin shaloi, Hashem has kivyochel some kind of a coat. And he takes his coat, and he's toivel it, ad shetziv adam, Bevoya me'edoy, lovush begodim. Shetziv Adam, Hashem has a garment that's red with the blood of every Jew that was ever killed. Uchshemigia yoyim hadin. This is what it means, yodin magoyim. Uchshemigia yoyim hadin v'yoyishev lodim. And the day of judgment will come and Hashem sits in judgment. And they're going to have all kinds of deniers. Oh, what's going to be then with CNN and NBC? What's going to be with, what's in England, what's that called?
BBC.
They're the biggest of the Rishon. The Arab station, Al-Jihad, whatever they call their station. I know what it's called. they're going to have all these shows and Mashiach's going to be in the world. And it's the day of judgment. We're going to say Yom HaDin. They say, what does that mean, Yom HaDin? We say day of judgment. In any language they want to hear what it means. Yom HaDin. So the Medrash says, Ukshemigia Yom HaDin. The Yosef Lodom. So then Hashem's going to bring back all of their headlines. Three Palestinians killed in Gaza. All their headlines. Harmless. Kites are sent out, children just having a nice time, flying kites on a beautiful day. So all the television shows and all the headlines, the Baruch Shalom is going to take out his coat from his closet. The Baruch Shalom has a closet. All right, is the Oisius Noir, right? He's going to take out his coat. Loivesh Oisius Purim, Amaraloi. Gufo shall call Tzadik v'Tzadik Roshim Olav, and he's going to show in the blood. There's going to be the image of called Tzadik v'Tzadik, which is every Jew. The image of each Jew is in that blood, on Hashem's coat. Shenemar, Yodin Bagoyim Mole Givios. Yodin Bagoyim Mole Givios. So the Medrash is saying that the din is going to be against the goyim who killed Jews, mole gevios. All of the corpses, every corpse of every Jew, is mole gevios. Hashem's bekeshim has everyone. Vayis Hashem is snakim haKadosh Baruch Hu mimenu shtei nekamos. Shenemar kel nekamos Hashem kel nekamos Ophir. And on that day there will be two nekamos. Now what the two are, we're not going into right now. There'll be two nekamos. And that day is coming, Bez Hashem. I don't remember if it was in Rabbi Lau's book or someplace else I read, but I remember that it was in Buchenwald, where they found there in Buchenwald that there was a Jew who scratched with his blood on the wall of where he was lying down, where he was. They locked him up in one of these places, and he had with his blood, he wrote Nekama. He wrote with his blood Nekama. Midavim for that day of Ur of Akuma, Harem Shifleikon. Because only when that happens, not just for my parents, the grandparents, but that's when the Nekama will finally bring that the Shifle HaKayim of every Jew will be able to stand up to him and be able to come back, come in the Yisrael HaTzayinu, the Gula Hashem HaAmidus. We're up to 33 Lamed Gimel.